He put his ear to Ged's breast, but could not still the shaking in his own limbs and the chattering of his teeth to listen for the heartbeat. He stood up again and tried to stamp to bring some warmth back into his legs, and finally, trembling and dragging his legs like an old man, set off to find their packs. They had dropped them beside a little stream running down from the ridge of the hills a long time ago, when they came down to the House of Bones. It was that stream he sought, for he could not think of anything but water, fresh water. Before he expected it, he came to the stream, as it descended onto the beach and wandered mazy and branching, like a tree of silver, to the sea's edge. There he dropped down and drank, with his face in the water and his hands in the water, sucking up the water into his mouth and into his spirit. At last, he sat up, and as he did so, he saw on the far side of the stream, immense, a dragon. Its head, the color of iron, stained as with red rust at nostril and eye socket and jowl, hung facing him, almost over him. The talons sank deep into the soft, wet sand on the edge of the stream. The folded wings were partly visible, like sails, but the length of the dark body was lost in the fog. It did not move. It might have been crouching there for hours, or for years, or for centuries. It was carven of iron, shaped from rock. But the eyes, the eyes he dared not look into, the eyes like oil coiling on water, like yellow smoke behind glass, the opaque, profound, yellow eyes watched Arryn. There was nothing he could do, so he stood up. If the dragon would kill him, it would. And if it did not, he would try to help Ged, if there was any help for him. He stood up and started to walk up the rivulet to find their packs. The dragon did nothing. It crouched, unmoving, and watched. Arryn found the packs, filled both the skin bottles at the stream, and went back across the sand to Ged. After he had taken only a few steps away from the stream, the dragon was lost in the thick fog. He gave Ged water but could not rouse him. He lay lax and cold, his head heavy on Arryn's arm. His dark face was grayish, the nose and cheekbones and the old scar standing out harshly. Even his body looked thin and burnt, as if half consumed. Arryn sat there on the damp sand, his companion's head on his knees. The fog made a vague, soft sphere about them, lighter overhead. Somewhere in the fog was the dead dragon Orm Embar, and the live dragon waiting by the stream. And somewhere across Celador the boat Lookfar, with no provisions in her, lay on another beach. And then the sea, eastward. 300 miles to any other land of the West Reach, maybe. 1,000 to the inmost sea. A long way. As far as Celador, they used to say on Enlad. The old stories told to children. The myths began as long ago as forever, and as far away as Celador, there lived a prince. He was the prince. But in the old stories, that was the beginning. And this seemed to be the end. He was not downcast. Though very tired and grieving for his companion, he felt not the least bitterness or regret. Only there was no longer anything he could do. It had all been done. When his strength came back into him, he thought, he would try surf fishing with the line from his pack. For once his thirst was quenched, he had begun to feel the gnawing of hunger, and their food was gone, all but one packet of hard bread. He would save that, for if he soaked and softened it in water, He might be able to feed some of it to Ged. And that was all there was left to do. Beyond that, he could not see. The mist was all about him. He felt about in his pockets as he sat there, huddled with Ged in the fog, to see if he had anything useful. In his tunic pocket was a hard, sharp-edged thing. He drew it forth and looked at it, puzzled. It was a small stone, black, porous, hard. He almost tossed it away. Then he felt the edges of it in his hand, rough and searing, and felt the weight of it, and knew it for what it was. A bit of rock from the mountains of pain. It had caught in his pocket as he climbed or when he crawled to the edge of the pass with Ged. He held it in his hand, the unchanging thing, the stone of pain. He closed his hand on it and held it. And he smiled then, a smile both somber and joyous, knowing for the first time in his life, alone, unpraised, and at the end of the world, victory. The mists thinned and moved. Far out through them he saw sunlight on the open sea. The dunes and hills came and went, colorless and enlarged by the veils of fog. Sunlight struck bright on the body of Orm Embar, magnificent in death. The iron black dragon crouched, never moving, on the far side of the stream. Past noon, the sun grew clear and warm, burning the last blur of mist out of the air. Arryn threw off his wet clothes and let them dry, and went naked save for his sword belt and sword. He let the sun dry Ged's clothing likewise, but though the great, healing, comfortable flood of heat and light poured down on Ged, yet he lay still. There was a noise as of metal rubbing against metal, the grating whisper of crossed swords. The iron-colored dragon had risen on its crooked legs. It moved and crossed the rivulet with a soft hissing sound as it dragged its long